you want to talk a little bit about what you brought, Andrew?
I'll talk about as much as I know about it. Oh, shit. Ooh, hang on. I brought this beer from, it's called Casey Brewing and Blending. The beer is called Saison. It's batch number 2. It's the only, so, like, very, very new brewery slash brewing facility in Glenwood Springs. Outside Glenwood Springs, almost to, like, in between Glenwood Springs and Carbondale. This dude named Troy Casey started this little place. Troy Casey was with
AC Golden,
yeah, which is a little branch of Coors. And this is kind of where you got to give Coors credit, because they actually invested in this little side project called AC Golden, which a lot like which they've been experimenting with doing sour beers, and they actually own a few fooders to do some wood aged sour beers, and they're making zero money on this thing, but they're experimenting a lot in this little branch called AC Golden.
That's cool.
And tremendous beers.
And making a lot of tremendous beers because of this guy named Troy Casey. Fun story about Troy Casey. About 3 years ago, I was having dinner at our brewmaster's house in Fort Collins, Peter Buchart. Background of Peter Buchart, in case you don't know him at all. We hired Peter Buchart from a brewery in Belgium called Rodenbach. Peter's Belgian born and raised. He's owned a brewery in Belgium before. He worked at Rodenbach, which is one of the most famous sour beer breweries in the world. Peter was literally the first brewer to do a commercially available sour beer in the United States. He's mm-hmm. known as the godfather of sour beer in the United States. We started doing Lawfully, I think it's been 18 years ago now or something like that. But he's kind of ahead, you know, he was way ahead of the time in the U.S. So I was having dinner at Peter's house, and I asked him, I was like, what's... I was kind of skeptical of the whole AC Golden thing. I was like, what's going on? Like, I hear there's this guy at AC Golden that's making sour beers, and, like, it's Coors making sour beers, man. Like, come on, what's up with that? You know? And Peter, in his, like, Flemish accent, was like, yes, I met Troy, and I met him at World Beer Cup a couple years ago, and he brought me one of his beers, and I told him it wasn't ready yet. It wasn't quite finished yet. And I was like, okay, all right, so like, what's the deal now? He's like, now we should hire him. To hear like, you know, who's the godfather of sour beer in the United States say that we should hire this guy is kind of a big
That's
deal.
Huge praise, right?
Yeah. And so anyways, Troy Casey, this guy is at AC Golden, and he decided to leave recently within the past year and start his own thing out along the creek in between Glenwood Springs and Carbondale, and is just doing, he has this like one, it's called a punch-in, it's kind of like a mini fooder, which is just a small oak barrel, where he's doing his primary fermentation and then doing like a secondary fermentation within the series of other oak barrels that he selects each time. And this is the second time that he's done one. So he did a Saison, I think primary fermented in this punch-in and then secondary fermentation in oak barrel. So it's an oak barrel aged Saison. This is his second batch. And from what I've heard from a buddy of mine who I highly, highly, highly respect, he said this is easily the best beer in Colorado right now.
Oh.
And which, like, that's a bold statement, but that's coming from this dude, Andre, who works at Mile High Wine and Spirits, he's got a really good palate, and, anyways, maybe it was best beer coming out of Colorado.
Dude, you should pop it by the mic.
Oh, yeah, yes. Do that. I'm not sure what the carbonation's like on this leg. Hang on.
It's cork.
Coming. Cork.
That's good.
Right there.
And from a purely aesthetic point of view, it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Super simple label. Yeah. Let's see this. Oh, it's a nice pumpkin. Second blend, bottle on 6/25 of 2014.
I'm getting sleepy over here.
Up, man.
Do you need us to, like, read you a bedtime story or?
No, no. I'm.
Do you want me to tell you something funny about you?
About me?
Yeah.
What's funny about me?
Okay. Well. Where do we start? Back up. Podcast listeners don't know maybe that there's no hair on the top of your head.
Correct.
And podcast listeners also don't know that you were wearing a cap earlier that had like the mesh in back.
Yeah.
Kind of trucker style, but not really. But yeah. With that mesh part. And there are those little breathing holes on mesh hats that you can still see below. It totally looked like your head had nipples on it all over from the top through the mesh.
It does?
It did when you have that cap on. Oh, the little air holes look like head nipples.
I thought you were going to tell me how I had like a sunburn. That was like...
I don't think anyone could have predicted that story.
Right?
No, isn't that great? So, no,
that is now bravo where, on that.
That's where I thought you were going.
Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
It was almost as
I thought the sunburn thing was coming too. That's what
I was like, oh God, I've got a sunburn on my dome. It was almost as good as the one in Boulder the other night where you... We're talking about a friend whose parents were German immigrants and they got caught up in the Amway scheme, and all of it turned out to be a complete lie
bullshit.
That Tristan and I were totally...
Yeah, who was that? I don't know who I was like trying to lie to you about.
Some girl.
Yeah, we'll keep that nameless.
We'll keep the name nameless.
But the story.
But the story was that said lady was a German immigrant who was the daughter of German immigrants whose parents got wrapped up in all kinds of shady shit with an Amway scheme. And we're like, what? And he was like, no, it was all a lie. Like, what about the German immigrant part? Yeah, I made that up too.
We discovered that Sam is the king of just telling tall tales. Spinning tall tales.
He's like, Laura's not here right now to smack me on the shoulder while I'm telling you.
Yeah, Laura is really good at picking up on when I'm starting to lie.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is good. Significant other should know when I'm lying.
Start twitching.
Yeah. I think it's the drool that starts coming from.
Well, fellas, what do you think about this beer?
Whoa.
Wowzers. So good.
I actually like it a lot. The aroma on it, right away I was thinking, another like butyric acid like bomb. Like that aroma, that kind of like baby puke aroma is like
a little bit is
butyric acid, and that's usually kind of like not something you want, like as it fully finished doing its thing type of thing, but like then you take a sip of it and
dang.
It's good, man. Like for it's a saison too, and then like but it cleans at the end. Yeah. It kind of dries out.
It's one of the best saisons I personally tried.
I can say I've never had. Yeah, I mean it's definitely not like a typical.
It's not a typical saison, and that's why I like saison. It a lot.
Yeah. But it's a new flavor profile. I love it when I come across like a new Rolodex flavor in my head. You know, like I can't reference anything on this. Like I've never had that flavor before, and
it's a really good way to describe it.
I love that. Yeah.
I just want to sit somewhere gorgeous for 2 hours and sip this with people. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
I'd sip it with you somewhere gorgeous.
I'll sip it with you somewhere gorgeous.
Start as something beautiful.
That's one of those ones where it's like the comma in that sentence makes a big difference. I'll sip it with you somewhere gorgeous. Put a comma in. If you put a comma in there, that completely changes the dynamic of that sentence.
I'll sip it somewhere with you, gorgeous.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that smell is almost sulfur-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not to the point where it's like repulsive or anything like that.
No, but it's so refreshing.
The other like thing, one of the main reasons, like my biggest question when he opened this brewery out there was like, why the hell Glenwood Spring? It's like, dude, you got Denver right here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what, you know, that seems so remote and seems like such a pain in the ass to get ingredients and like shipping. You gotta drive all your bottles over here anyways. And but I guess he's just like so dedicated to the terroir of where he wants to brew. Like he's trying to duplicate as much of like what regional Belgian brewers would do. You know, like traditionally, in the Lambic region of Belgium, like the idea was that the yeast on the grapes in that valley was what would float into the air and then naturally ferment the beer. And so he's got this brewery set up right along this beautiful creek with like cherries growing and all sorts of like amazing wild plants growing, and so the idea is that the natural, you know, yeast in that air would affect his brewing, and it does. I mean, yeast is all around us constantly, and so where you are definitely affects what's going on around you. But yeah, that's pretty cool that he's that dedicated to
that. Is really cool
this brewing that he would move himself out there and
So
there's a nice little brewing scene kind of in that Roaring Fork Valley, though, too. You've got Aspen Brewing up there. And
yeah, that's right.
Roaring Fork. Beer brewery, whatever. I don't know the actual name of it. They just opened up in Carbondale.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Crazy Mountain is in Edwards and a few others kind of along in that area.
Yeah. Western Slope.
Yep.
Raising it up.
Crazy little world over there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're kind of nearing the end of our late night porch cast. We usually end with a question. Does anybody have a good question to end on?
What's your favorite Robin Williams film?
Appropriate. Very appropriate.
Nice. Are we going around?
Yeah, sure.
Dead Poets Society.
What?
Because I watched it last night.
Perfect.
It's the most recent one I've watched lately.
Did you have a question prepared, Tristan?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did not. Did not.
Are you disappointed in this question?
No. I love this question.
Are you okay?
I just saw him open up his field notes notebook and read something. I was like, oh, maybe he had a question ready.
I love this question. I'm a big Robin Williams fan. I think he's...
That was one of the things that we didn't really touch on, but it's like,
that's true.
You know, when just to kind of step, I was thinking about this the other day.
No, that's
like
great.
How it's just.
I'm glad that you brought it up because for some reason I didn't get that into our lineup tonight, and I'm glad that we're touching on it.
It's fascinating these people that exist within kind of not just the pop culture realm, but like make such an impact. Well, you know, through their. What is essentially kind of pop culture stardom and fame. But, you know, when you see somebody like this and they go out in the fashion, I don't know, it's like, I guess the fact that it was a suicide doesn't really make that big of a difference. But, I mean, I think that factors into it, all of it. But somebody, he's one of those people that was just like, just always been on top of his game all the time. And it's one of those things you don't quite realize because it's always been there, at least for people, you know, our age, 31, 32 and younger, whatever it might be, you know, even on up to people that are older than us that grew up watching him as a kind of this icon back in the 70s. And
he's just always on.
So great. Yeah. Like somebody of that talent and that skill level, you know, they affect millions of people in a certain way. And, you know, I guess it's even more apparent when it's a suicide for somebody that's not been doing well mentally. You realize that, you know, even if it's somebody like Michael Jackson or whoever that didn't necessarily specifically take his own life, but it's just, you see, that's when you kind of see the effects of the life that they lead coming full circle to eventually affects them as an individual. You know, like, they use this kind of personality and these things that they have as a way to cope with whatever things that they're going through, and they put it out in the most beautiful way that millions of people get to enjoy. But ultimately, like, it has an extreme effect on them even before they're famous, and then being famous on that kind of scale has, like, there's no way that a lot, I mean, there's only a small percentage of people globally that know what that feeling is like, to, like,
right.
have to continue, like, always be either be on or, like, mm-hmm. have this certain guard up when you step outside your front door
people
or whatever
have expectations of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And always in the spotlight and scrutinized for your every moment, you know, in the public eye. But, like, what an incredible body of work that this person has left behind, and just, like, the amount of things that they did, that he did in the last 40 years. Yeah. I think a lot of people probably just kind of assumed it would always be there, and, you know, he's just one of those people that's, like, you know, he's not famous on the scale of somebody
like a
Miley Cyrus or, like, a Lady Gaga or whoever it might be that's, like, Michael Jackson that's, like, global phenomenon, but the dude did some amazing stuff, and the benefit of somebody dying is that you take your time to kind of revisit the things that they've done that have been so amazing. And I know that I've done that over the last week. It's just like
I've read a lot. Like most recently, I read the thing that that Questlove posted. I don't know if you guys saw that
about him getting in the elevator.
About him getting in the elevator at the Grammys. And it was a really just a. Honestly, not that well-written article. Like, tons of typos and like tons of.
Yep.
But it was him talking about how, like, they were done with the Grammys and they were bummed out because they didn't win that year, even though they won the previous year. But they were all, you know, kind of, they were bummed out. They were getting on the elevator and out of a few feet away comes Robin Williams running. And he's like, Questlove, and like names out everybody that's in the Roots and gets on and like. Turns out he is a massive Roots nerd, and they like tried to stump him with like Roots history and awesome. lyrics and their words, like, and the meanings behind those lyrics and stuff, and he knew everything from front to back, like, you know. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's been fun to hear these, like,
and that's
side
the,
stories
the,
I guess,
you know, the beautiful part about death, I guess, you know, is that, like, you know, I'm guessing all of us here have kind of spent our fair share of time the last week just, like, you know, watching stuff that's meaningful within his body of work. And then for me, finding stuff that I didn't know existed, one of which was this. He sang a Bruce Springsteen song as Elmer Fudd. And it is so
that's amazing. That's amazing.
Funny. It's so funny. And, you know, it's like...
I love it.
It's just a bummer when there's people that you, whether you know them personally or not, that you feel like are gone too soon. You know,
yeah.
Then it's at the same,
I mean, yeah.
The same,
and thing. It also just goes to show that you don't know,
right?
Yeah.
On the flip. You know him on screen, nobody knows that guy.
Yeah, and that's
the, nobody knows him.
Yeah,
which
you know.
Is why. Yeah.
So, anyway,
Justin, what's your favorite?
You know, I think I've got to say that it's Good Will Hunting, just because I don't know. Just such a passionate character, but honestly, like, as Peter Pan and Hook too, and like, but probably Good Will Hunting, you know, which is definitely more of a serious role,
a true acting, like showing off.
I just really enjoy that. I really enjoy that movie overall, and I think that he provides a great role in that movie.
Cool.
Easily Hook.
I
love this movie as a defense of acting like a child in the best way. Mm-hmm. And he's so good. Like when you look at his eyes, when he kind of snaps back into Pan mode.
You're doing it, Peter.
Yeah, it totally changes. There's something crazy about it. Yeah, and he's just a weirdo in a very heartwarming way.
David Letterman's tribute that he did this week was really good too.
Yeah.
He kind of took a few days to.
I think I was one of the few that like wasn't really like revisiting film roles. I was more revisiting the interviews that he's done. Like the Marc Maron interview was fantastic.
I haven't watched that.
One of the more remarkable things I think about Robin Williams was how open he was about the rehab stints, about his depression.
Yeah.
That's so unique, especially, I mean, like, once you get into celebrity, I'm sure they just put a shield up and they don't want to talk about that sort of stuff. And I don't blame them, but Robin Williams was just so
unfailingly open about everything that he was going through. I mean, he had an interview with Letterman, which I think was part of the tribute, where he was saying, you know, after he won the Academy Award for Good Will Hunting,
it was
2 weeks of that, and then he was people were back to calling him Mork.
Yep.
And it hit him hard, because like it's just the relevance only lasts for a certain bit of time. But that's been the thing I've been doing for the last like week has just been listening to those interviews. I've been listening to the Marc Maron interview. He had a couple other interviews on podcasts that I thought were really, really well done. You know, in terms of movie, I always kind of skewed towards his dramatic roles. I thought those were better. I like his stand-up comedy. I never truly appreciated him in the actual comedies. Insomnia was one of my favorite movies. When I first saw that, that introduced me to Christopher Nolan.
I've never seen it.
It's with Al Pacino. It's set in Alaska. It's one of the most... It's a remake of some I think, a Swedish movie, but it's fantastic. And Robin Williams, he had this capability to switch over and do these dramatic roles in such an amazing way that I don't think any other comedian in our era has been able to do. And it was remarkable, and I loved him in that role, and there was a couple other movies that he did. Like, 1 Hour Photo was really dark. I always kind of skewed towards those movies, but Insomnia is definitely my favorite of his, and I would recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it.
I kind of mentioned this during the Porch Drinking Roundtable tribute to Robin Williams, but one of the most underrated films that he's done is The Awakenings. Robert De Niro is really kind of a more serious role, but a really, really cool movie. And Hook is one of my favorites too. I love that movie. It was one of the movies that I watched every year at Thanksgiving time growing up. Just because I think they would always show it around Thanksgiving for some reason when I was growing up, and then it just became a tradition that I had to watch it. That and Star Wars every Thanksgiving. So, nice. He was a brilliant performer. You know, people talk about how quick he was, and it's true. Like, I've been going through some like interviews on late night shows and whatnot, and it's just tremendous, like how he can just jump in and out of characters so quickly and seamlessly. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The scene in Mrs. Doubtfire when he talks about how he has a good hot dog impression. He's like rolling through all these like amazing impressions, and he's like, "I do a great hot dog," and he just like.
And I also love the movie Jumanji because
I forgot about that.
Because Scott and I are friends with this couple, Mike and Robin, and Robin recently just gave birth. A year ago, gave birth to this little boy. And when she was still pregnant, we were asking her what she was going to name her child. And for some reason, I decided that we were just going to name him Jumanji. And we started naming off other ridiculous Robin Williams movies that the child could be named after. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he should be named Mrs. Doubtfire. Or, oh, he should be named Good Morning Vietnam. And ever since that discussion, I have always referred to Thomas as Jumanji. So that's always kind of like a special thing for me, just because I think it's pretty hilarious, and I will still call him Jumanji every single time I see him.
That's awesome. Perfect.
Well, thanks so much for everyone who tuned in to the Porchcast. This has been a really awesome episode.
Yeah,
this has
been a good one. Really, we've almost knocked out 2 hours worth of chatting here.
Wow. Yeah. But thanks also to our guests, Andrew and Scott. I really appreciate you guys joining us. Hopefully we can come stop by your all's porches at some point.
Yes.
Do this again.
And, maybe porch together soon.
Yes. And thanks also to Sam and
that guy over there?
Yeah, JP over here. And it's been a lot of fun. We'll talk to you guys here soon.
Goodbye,
Cheers.
Well
done. Goodbye.